Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, weary traveler. Need a short rest? Oh, I see. They said you'd be showing up about now. Come on, through the portal. Best not keep the Lore Mistress and Lore Master waiting. You know how they get.
Robots Radio presents the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. The best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons and Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
And we are joined by the multiverse famous patrons of the round table, the fine folk of the Patreon. Hello, thank you so much for joining us. I'm gonna go. You can't tell this. Darkwing's scoffing because I'm playing games. I'm playing semantics with him. There was a bet on the Discord as to whether or not I would say fair folk of the Patreon, which I guess I just said it, so I lost. I always say it because
you're getting predictable.
Because they are fair folk, and fair in the traditional sense of being, you know, just and good and virtuous and amazing. I'm gonna go in clockwise order from how my screen looks. We are joined by Jeff. Say hello, Jeff.
Salutations.
We are joined by Bellari. This is where you say hello. There you go, attaboy.
It's the find the mute button.
Pause. Oh yeah, we'll be doing this for years and years and years. We have been doing this whole Zoom thing, you know, online meeting thing for years, and we still haven't, as a society, haven't quite really figured it out on the whole. And then Darkwing.
Hello.
And Tex.
Hello.
And we are joined by an extra special guest this month. Locke, say hello.
Hello, hello.
Locke has joined us in the past. He's a
nope.
Right? No.
Nope.
I'm thinking of Mellow.
You think of Mellow.
Yeah, this is another one of the poor suckers that you DM for, that all your devious
schemes. It's true. This is a
Mellow
in
disguise.
Canonically speaking, this is my twin.
Mellow in disguise. This is a trick, and I don't believe it.
Oh,
it's a lock mimic.
Oh God, lock the lock's a mimic. I wouldn't be surprised at this point in my life.
Me and Mellow have a joke. If you've ever seen the meme of the one girl with the rainbow hair, and she's smiling real big, and sitting next to her is the girl with the black hair and the glasses, and she's super serious.
Right.
Mellow is one, and I'm the other one.
There you go.
Every time we're just. Different spectrums like that.
Fantastic.
This month we are discussing in the Patreon roundtable favorite archetypes, favorite character archetypes, the kind of characters we love to play, the kind of characters that are tried and true, maybe even characters that we would want to play but for some reason haven't figured out how to pull it off. And if that's the case, maybe we offer some tips and tricks.
Oh, goodness.
So we've got, in the realm of D&D, in the long tradition of it, there are, you know, many classic archetypes. There is, and a lot of them were on display in the Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie, like the just absurdly lawful good paladin. Just like the, you're too good and I want to hate you, but I can't because you're just too good.
He's my favorite. The seriousness of the smartass retorts. It's my favorite.
The walking in the straight line. That just says it all.
They're not even smartass
retorts. No, it was the sarcasm. I find that sarcasm is a
way that cuts they who wield it the most deeply. That was the best line of that entire movie.
So carefully. And
but it's not smartass because it's completely sincere.
Yeah.
It's completely genuine.
He's so
he earnest. Makes you want to right. hate. Just, God. Can't also, steal
maybe
anything
it's the
around
archetypes
him.
You love to hate, too.
For sure, for sure. Then there's the
love to hate.
There's the just the heavy on muscles, low on brains, barbarian. There's mm-hmm. the brooding, either rogue or warlock with like a shady past. There's a lot
chip
of
on his shoulder.
Right, there's a lot of different fun archetypes that are prevalent in D&D. So Mary, what's one of yours? What's one of your favorite archetypes?
One. Okay, I can pick. I could probably pick one to talk about. See, the problem is I want to be all of them, so I became a DM.
Oh.
That's
yeah,
my
exactly.
official stance. That's it. I want to be all of them, so I'm DMing.
I feel that.
I don't know. I kind of would like to actually get to play an intelligent character that gets to be intelligent. The problem is the dice don't ever agree with what archetype I want. They simply do not. I've been the dumb. They're not fickle. They hate me.
It's like you have a character with like a +4 modifier to intelligence, and so like, all right, roll this roll, and you're like a 7 or a 3. Cool, that +4 didn't really.
I rolled a natural 1 with advantage on an attack with my overpowered paladin. Okay, so it doesn't matter what I want to be, but. In a perfect world, I would like to actually get to play the stealthy character, like the stealthy, sneaky person, like the person that's kind of got their own secrets and stuff. And I built her, but I haven't gotten to use her because I've had to take some time off to adjust stuff within my house. But she holds one of Locke's character's wedding licenses.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand what that means.
I have it so.
Go ahead, Mary. My character doesn't know any of this, so.
Yeah, his character is Oblivious. It's an archetype, but if you want to, you know Malleus better than me.
Yeah, Malleus is my tiefling bard, and he's probably the most aloof character, and he's kind of the one I'm kind of excited about playing because he is just so aloof, but he's so used to talking his way through things. That he doesn't really listen to anyone else. So
which is a problem.
He just kind of, yeah. So we wound the party. This is in an Acquisitions Incorporated game, and he's mm-hmm. the secretarian. And then the hordes person who he accidentally wound up marrying, we wandered into, I think, like some kind of wedding or something.
It was City Hall that was performing that day. Yeah, it was City Hall doing a everybody come through and get your stamp of approval marriage type thing. And his dumb character's like, oh, you want my autograph on that thing? Sure, I'll autograph it for you because he's a celebrity. So now he's married.
Yep.
And my rogue was like, hey, I'll hold on to that for them. I'm their witness. I'll just hang on to it for him. But I'd love to get to use it as blackmail and get to, actually be the sneaky, stealthy rogue character, because I'm real bad at stealth.
I really like the idea of that. That's a mm-hmm. great idea.
You gotta jack up those those modifiers.
I might steal that idea.
By all means.
Thank you.
I think the other I'd have to say would be more of the Link from Legend of Zelda type archetype. The the chosen one. Just does the good thing, does what they're supposed to do, because that's the way I play most games. I don't ever take the mean route. I'm the nice person.
That's interesting you say that, because I have two best friends that I've known since high school, since like eighth and ninth grade. And which, you know, if you can listen to the show, I am an old, as they say. And so it's been well over half my life that I've known them. And one always plays like the virtuous. I mean, his favorite hero is Superman. So he always plays like the virtuous character, always helps out whatever like NPCs in need. And the other one like takes out like his like deepest, darkest, like, you know, id driven fantasies. And like when he plays Fable, he's like always got like these giant demonic horns and everyone like flees from the sight of him.
Did he kick the chickens?
Right. He kicks the chickens. He's a chicken kicker.
Always kick the chickens.
Chicken kicker is an insult. I think I'm just going to throw around.
I cannot believe y'all are just a bunch of chicken kickers.
If you played Fable, you heard it. There's no way you didn't kick the chickens.
That's everyone's homework here, and everyone listening is to use that as an insult in your next session.
It reminds me of the Orbit commercials.
Right, yeah. Like
you lit liquor. Oh,
I like to call people jack wagons.
Jack wagon's a good one.
Mine are not appropriate for group.
In mixed company.
Yeah, me either.
I caught one in a discussion. Somebody was talking about Infinity War and Thanos and Captain America, and they said something like Cap went after him and Thanos slapped him away like he was a sassy rabbit. And I thought sassy rabbit was one of the funniest things I had ever heard.
Just, it makes sense though.
Like I don't know what you're trying to say, but for some reason I understand it completely.
I get it though.
Well, speaking, Locke, you were talking about your tiefling bard. Speaking of bards, you know, there is the obvious, you know, famous archetype of the horny bard. Has anyone ever played one of those?
I have played, so now this is my third bard.
Locke is trying to choose his next words very carefully.
I am.
I felt the reservation in that bard. Sentence. That I...
I've never actually played, like, you know, the horny bard type thing. But what I decided to do was more so just be very selective about it. And
it's kind of... horny
bards.
That
bard, you know, I've got one that I know for sure definitely is not my sweet little Warforged bard, my innocent boy. Mm-hmm. Bruh had a very specific type, and Malleus is kind of he's more the aloof one, not so much looking for it, but not gonna say no at the same time too. But I kind of understand where that archetype came from with bards, but it was never really something I kind of like played with in my characters like that. For me, it was bards were like how to word things better, you know, and get out of situations that might not need fighting.
Locke, you know, wants to cause damage by talking shit.
I mean, that there's
that's true too.
Mockery.
Yes, vicious mockery is one of my go-to spells. Yeah,
that was like, it's vicious lockery at this point. Come on now.
I think with the, you know, obviously with the popularity of Critical Role and with the popularity of The Legend of Vox Machina on Amazon Prime, you know, the
Scanlan is amazing.
Yeah,
first
exactly.
of all. And so, I've told Locke to watch it so many times because there's little bits of Bard that you can't gloss over.
I mean, Sam does it so well.
Exactly. It's such a well-played character.
And it's one of those things where you watch it and you're like, I can't be a Bard. I can't do any of that. And then you feel like you're supposed to. And you're like, it's like that Mercer effect.
Right, right.
You feel like you're supposed to live up to what these guys are doing, and you're like,
oh gosh,
we're normies, we don't do that sort of stuff.
Exactly. You have to remember they are
that's what they do,
paid actors who like at this point like literally play D&D for a living.
Yeah,
but I'd be interested to see a like very reserved, very prudish bard who's like, who, you know, isn't about, you know, the fans, like, you know, about the groupies, but rather just solely like obsessed with the music.
I have one in my party right now.
Darkwing, let's hear about it.
Tell me about it.
Okay, well, it's my bard. He's a first-time player, so he doesn't really know what he's doing. So he's shy. He doesn't come up with songs. He doesn't ever roll well. And it's the most non-bard I've ever seen. And I've been trying to help him through it. But yes, it's just a bard who just not my oldest player, like my old man, is always just like, seduce them. Do this. Do any of this. None of this. None of this. Okay, well then, fireball. And that's how we get around. My bard is very shy. So I've seen it. And, you know, I mean,
it works to varying levels.
Because he's fresh out of college. It's a fresh new bard. He hasn't experienced the world and it hasn't corrupted him yet.
I'm trying to think of any rock star or band member that isn't that way, though. And that's more or less what bards are based off of.
Right, right.
Kind of, yeah.
Like a real life analogy. Yeah.
Aw, like, they're just a trumpet player.
Even the trumpet players in jazz bands are that way.
Mm. You can't tell. Even jazz band trumpet players.
Maybe he's just some emo person that just, you know, the music's for himself.
They're not getting into it because they just want to share music with the world.
So Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I mean, but even that, even he got married and had a wife and had a kid. So like, I'm looking for a completely like uninterested in anything romantic or sexual. Like, just want to focus on
the music.
Sounds
like you're looking for MB.
Yeah, he's so precious.
What?
MB is
my Warforged bard.
Yeah,
let's hear about
him.
Go ahead, Mary. Sorry.
For context, I've somewhat twisted the way that the Warforged were built for the history of the, or for the sake of the campaign that he is involved in. So they are made from stealing other people's souls. So part of what he is he had someone else's soul in there, and there's some other, you know, magical stuff, and he's somewhat reprogrammed. So technically he's a baby and doesn't remember anything that happened before that. Quotations, baby. But he's pretty. He's pretty awesome. I don't know where Locke got the idea from, though. For him,
well, I just got the idea of, like, you know, that it was this old artificer. What is his backstory? Who wanted to retire, a level 19 artificer, old, and just wanted one of those automatic playing pianos that you'd see in like old West saloons and something. But it made sense to me that, oh, he's, you know, he's so good with machines, he would just repurpose a Warforged and build it out of old music instruments and stuff like that. And that would be his music box for his tavern. And that's where MB kind of started out. And he's not interested in anything like that. No romance or anything. He's just his quote unquote dad, the artificer that made him, wound up passing away. And MB's just out there exploring the world now, trying to figure out what else is out there.
All I'm picturing is like when Tom gets crushed down to like an accordion and he's walking away going, wee, wee, wee,
wee. Not yet, but if you roll poorly, we'll see what happens.
There are shades of Edward Scissorhands in that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Vincent Price character who passes away. Like, I never understood that. Like, he gives him like these, like, obviously, like, plastic hands. Like, was it just like a symbol of like, hey, you're going to have hands soon? Or were they supposed to be his actual hands? I never got that part.
The hands that he destroyed, I think those were going to be his hands, but he didn't.
But they were just like mannequin hands.
No, they were like silicone, because he died and like he ended up destroying those hands.
Right.
I agree with that. That's what I always thought.
How was that always confused me?
Like in the process, like the hands were made, he just never got it. Putting them on.
The movie about the man with scissors for hands, that part really, that's the part that confused me.
Let's see, forget how violent it gets, though.
Oh yeah, it gets it's pretty dark. I mean, it's a Tim Burton movie from the 90s. It's gonna get dark. Tex, what are some of your what are some of your favorite archetypes? What are some characters you've played?
I don't have a ton of experience of actually getting to play. I mean, I really only played like one long campaign as a barbarian, but like I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, let's hear about it.
Like I enjoyed just like, you know, rage and hit things. Like that was
right.
Like I didn't have to worry too much about planning in between turns. It's pretty simple. Like, there's a thing, go hit it. Like
right. I've got something like, heavy and sharp. That thing is trying to hurt us.
It's like, but later on in like into like further in, like I like, you know, multi-classed with like some like rogue stuff so I could like sneak around and then destroy things.
Oh god.
Like so that was kind of interesting too.
So did backstabbing
with rocks?
Right.
Yeah. I was just like, what is this? Rogues and barbarians do not mix. That is oil and water. You can't be 12 feet tall and sneaky.
Yes, you can.
The heck you can't.
It's like I mostly picked it for the like added speed and stuff.
Yeah.
Like
which
I really
species?
Like
I'm curious.
I was a dragonborn.
Nice.
So literal sneaky tank.
Yeah, so it's like by the end of it.
Dragon sneaking around.
By the end of it, there was like haste on me and I could like fly like 100 and some feet like each turn and like it was pretty terrible for some people. But
so I like
building
you're
it
actually
like,
sneaky or that they're so terrifying that I was like, yep, you are sneaking. I didn't see a thing. I saw nothing.
It's the abominable snowman from Bugs Bunny. He just shows up behind people and they're all like, ah.
No, yeah, see, it could happen. It could work.
It's like, can't see the forest for the trees.
It's like once you're flying, you don't make any noise. Whenever I get to play again, like I would like to maybe do something a little more with a little more magic to it. It's like I know like stuff I haven't like done like I would like to, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot for it anymore. It's like a Beastmaster. Like I know it's there is sort of a Beastmaster in there, but it's not really.
Right, right. So when you multi-classed as a rogue,
yeah, I saw that in there.
Did you like justify it in game anyway? Did you explain it in game, or did you just say like my character wants to start taking levels in rogue? Because that's always been interesting to me is when people multi-class is like, do they do it just for the sake of getting some cool new toys, or do they do it and also like incorporate it into the game somehow into the story?
I mean, it was mostly so I could do certain other things. I mean, but it was like determined by what was going on in the story. Like, I'm like, I need to be able to move faster. I need to be able to like do certain things. I'm like, well, I got to pick this other class so I can gain like extra movement and like.
So did you find a teacher in game, or did you just? Yeah, all right, now I know this.
It was just level up, like. But there was like certain like new what abyssal or whatever, and everybody's like, "Why the hell do you know abyssal?" And it was like, "It's like I was making a deal with, like a demon to like because like his family was dead, so he was like trying to find like a certain dragon that killed everybody, and so he's like doing that sort of stuff." And
I mean, if we're gonna make deals with demons and devils, you got to probably know abyssal.
Yeah, so it was like, because I know the DM was like, the DM's just like, does anybody know abyssal? And I'm like, I do. And everybody's like, what?
Like you're full of surprises.
It's like, but I also, it's like, I like playing like the dumb barbarian too. Like, it's like, I got a little more into the RP of it. Like, I wasn't like overly dumb about it, but I like kind of like not being like, oh, I don't want to know something that this character wouldn't know, and
right. So like, just like make it easy for yourself.
Well, not so much make it easy, but it's like I don't want to. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's like I just didn't want to. Kind of like metagame it
for sure.
It's like where you'd be like, I know this thing, but he wouldn't know this, so I can't. I can't play too smart. And then like I like playing. I feel like
that's a challenging role.
It's, I like playing play. Drunk.
That too. Is
like,
so that hard. Fun. Oh, that is so hard for me to do. Like, oh, I know a lot of stuff that she does not know.
It is taking everything in me not to divert the conversation into metagaming right now.
It's like, I always tried. I always tried my best to like not metagame and keep the like party like focused, because I'm like the DM's here to like help us out here. Like, let's try to like stay on task a little bit.
What's that like? You know what? I don't.
Yeah, I don't know what's staying on task. Who let you do what?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, that's another.
There it is. There's another archetype. I want to learn to play a serious DM.
It's like. Well, I mean, we weren't like super serious, but it's like sometimes you just get so far off the rails, you're like, all right, everybody, let's kind of like get back into what we're here
for. That's Mello's role.
Originally we were heading to the castle, but you know, after a bunch of side trips, why are we in the middle of the ocean?
I mean,
it wasn't so much that, it was more like it would just be like random, like, because I would play with people like from like Europe and stuff, and then they'd start like talking about like metrics versus like US measurements, and it's like, why are we doing this? And then we do it like every time, like it's like kilometers versus miles. It's like, let's stop talking about this. Let's go kill some orcs. Let's do the thing that we're here for.
Contain distance to time.
I can't really say anything. I mean, one of my parties in Lost Mine of Phandelver took over one of the establishments in the city, turned it into a franchised Applebee's, and then opened up a brothel named Dracula F Mansion. So, you know, just passive income sort of thing, you know, just our money's making money. That was really the long and short of it.
Sounds smart to me.
It's like, we started the Industrial Revolution.
Oh, that's right. I remember you telling us that. Yeah.
That was interesting.
Well, Bellari, you're up next. What are some of the archetypes that you like to play?
I generally end up playing the sneaky, think 400 steps ahead type archetypes. And I blame that entirely on Rocky and Bullwinkle. Entirely.
Yeah, you're not just going to be able to say that and not explain.
Do go on.
My idols watching cartoons growing up were Dirk Dastardly, Snidely Whiplash, and Boris Badenoff. They had all these grandiose plans that always had backup plans. None of them ever worked because they were incompetent, but they always had this get out of jail free card for anything they could possibly do. And I love that way of thinking, because that's how I think of everything I do anyways. Like, if I can't do this, then I'm going to have to do this. But if that fails, I should have a backup for that, because I'm not just going to do nothing. So, yeah.
You know, the Edgin character from the movie, plays by Chris Pine, he was very much like that. You know, he had a plan. If case that plan fails, he made another plan. You gotta have someone like that in every party. Someone that can strategize.
I always ended up playing like thief mages too, just so that.
It's like, I feel like we always make plans, but they immediately don't work.
Like, are we going to do this? Then we're going to do that, and then we're going to finish off like by doing this, and then immediately, like, all right, let's go. All right, we've all rolled ones. So never mind. Just start smashing things.
Yes.
And then you fall into the archetype of the murder hobo.
I've critically stabbed my foot. This is amazing.
Jeff, how about yourself? What are some of the archetypes that you love to play?
Very much like Mary, I started DMing specifically because I couldn't stop making characters, and I didn't get to play the vast majority of them, so they had to become NPCs, because that's just the way it works. when I am a player, I'm a big fan of the like reluctant hero. Like I'm in a Ruins of Simbarum campaign, and my character in that one is like he was like a street urchin, and he kind of got roped into this like murder investigation and was like, I don't really want to be here. But at this point,
like
now
Dante Hicks from Clerks.
Yeah. So now at this point, he's just kind of he's actually like shifted that. He still doesn't want to be a hero, but now he's so attached to these other people in the party that he's like, I gotta go. Like, I gotta protect these folks. So I don't know. I don't know where that's gonna go. But yeah, like the reluctant hero is a big one. And then I would say the other thing is like the trope of the inverted trope. So like I put together a paladin, an Oathbreaker paladin who became an Oathbreaker because he had sworn the Oath of Vengeance and then just like stopped killing evil people because he just didn't like killing. And so now he's an Oathbreaker, and he has these necromantic powers that he's just never going to use, except like to have a skeleton like bring him food in his house, like and then
I mean, yeah. let's if we're all being honest here, if we had the power of necromancy, I mean, we might do other stuff, but we'd for sure have skeletons bring us a sandwich.
100%
skeleton butlers.
Yep, mow my lawn.
I mean, I don't need a skeleton. I have a kid. Like, my kid literally brought me a sandwich while I was here.
I guarantee you that those skeletons eat less than my children do.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tex, I have a kid too, but he's 3 and he doesn't know how to bring me sandwiches. Yeah. So it's not a cure all.
It's a long term investment.
Oh yeah, you gotta do the work right away, and then it pays off.
you just have to say sudo in front of it, and then it works.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So like, yeah, you have the kid, invest the time, invest the resources, and then you get the sandwiches.
Yes.
You know, whereas the necromancy, like, you might have to sell a piece of your soul to a demon. But you get the, you know, you get the skeleton sandwiches almost immediately. So
I was gonna say, I think like the necromancy is like the quick route.
Right. It's
you just pay for it in the end. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to choose your path. Do you want to put in the work, or do you want the instant gratification of skeleton butlers now?
Instant gratification.
That's the age old question. The question that's been haunting
mankind skeletons.
since time immemorial.
Kids are skeletons.
Kids are skeletons. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that.
So far we have kids are skeletons. What was the other t-shirt that we had at the beginning of the show?
Oh gosh, I don't even know now.
I can't remember.
I'm Rocky and Bullwinkle threw me for a loop so hard, I'm still trying to recover. That was not the sentence I was expecting. Any other direction would have made more sense to me first.
Speaking of characters who kind of grew to love the party around them, I'm running and have been for about 3 years now a tiefling rogue by the name of Razmataz, also known as Razzy to his friends. Razzy, you know, started off sort of just like kind of wanting to do this for kicks, just joining this adventure party just to, for S's and G's, just to see what kind of trouble he could get into, what kind of stuff he could steal. But grew to really love the group that he was with, especially Xyla Lore. Razzy and Xyli formed the Leather Boys. You know, they're two peas in a pod, thick as thieves. There was a while where Xyli, unbeknownst to the rest of the party, was kidnapped and held captive and was replaced by a doppelganger. And so my job was to roleplay as Razzy, but roleplay him just slightly off, just enough that, you know, that there's something slightly amiss. You know, I would steal stuff that I normally wouldn't steal. I mean, being a rogue, you know, he's going to steal, but he would start stealing from the party. He would start just acting in ways that Razzy wouldn't normally act. And when it was finally revealed that he was a doppelganger, and revealed that he had been a doppelganger at this point for months, because we only played twice a month, so probably about 3 months worth of sessions was, you know, this whole situation. They were thrown for an absolute loop. They thought, you know, they're like, so when did this happen? I was like, oh, this was back when we're all getting tattoos in Skullport. It's like, what? All the way back then? So Well, yeah, like I said, it's been fun playing this character who kind of like, you know, didn't really care about anything except for, you know, sort of the vices and the hedonistic things in life to grow into like really care about the people around him. He helped kill a dragon. That was pretty cool. He actually like split the battlefield, you know, kind of flanked the dragon. So the dragon wasn't, you know, had two like a druid and I believe another spellcaster in front of him while I was behind him and just sort of flanking him to keep him, you know, on his toes. And even the DM was like, you know what? That threw me for a loop. I wasn't exactly sure how to react to that. I assumed you'd all kind of like, you know, huddle around and try to take him head on, but that was some good strategy. So, but yeah, that's a fun archetype. I like that one. The
trickster.
Well, yeah, the trickster with a heart of gold.
I like it. I like it.
So your entire party fell for the Steve Buscemi line when he walks in with his hat on sideways and the skateboard and says, "Hello, Mike."
Exactly. But yeah, they were all thrown for a loop. They thought maybe it was like maybe the session before. I'm like, no, this is like maybe where this was at this point. Let's say like, you know, August. I'm like, no, this was back in like February that this started. So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
How do you not tell people that you're gonna do that? Was it torture?
It was absolute torture.
Okay, because like you're just talking about it, like, yeah, I just didn't tell anybody for months, and I'm like, how did you go months? Locke would know as it was happening. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's happened in game. Our DM's like, hey, here's a new personality trait. Don't tell anyone. Okay.
That's why you gotta hope you have like a different group of people you can talk to about it.
No, yeah, I mean that's you know what what my wife is for. It's like she gets to hear about the session the next day. She gets to hear about a 30-minute recap about a 5-hour session the next day.
Yeah, I know.
Bless her heart, she listens to it.
I know.
In the campaign that I played, like me and one of the other players, like we decided that like our two dragonborn were gonna be like we were gonna reveal that they were actually brothers, but they didn't like they like discover it like, and we were just kind of like dropping that on the rest of the group and the DM, and like when as soon as we did it, like everybody was just like, oh my god, like just like you could see like the brains exploding,
like Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
But at least I like there's like I had like the other person that we could like, you know, we're in on it, so it wasn't like, oh, I got the secret, I want to say it.
For sure, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, it was just me and the DM that knew. It was torture. It was, but it was
You're
fun torture.
Such a strong, brave man to have made it through such a harrowing time.
Well, like as an example, like, you know, we came across I came across some treasure. And so the DM is telling, you know, me at the table and where everyone can hear, like, okay, well, you find, you know, 5 platinum pieces, 20 gold pieces, whatever it is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I say like, hey, does anyone else see me? Does anyone see like what's in here? He's like, oh, no, everyone's kind of like off to the side. You're the only one like directly in front of it. And so I roll a sleight of hand check. You know, being a rogue at this point, my sleight of hand modifier is for like a +8 roll double digits. So, you know, 20 or above. And he's like, they don't see anything. And I was like, oh, yeah, we got a couple of coppers. That's about it. You know, it's pretty empty. And they're all like, you know, out of game. They're like, dude, what are you doing? What the hell? In game, they just have, you know, their characters just have to like eat poop and like it. But yeah, they, like I said, it was fun to play a slightly, a slight variant on my character. The other campaign in the Curse of Strahd campaign that it's been on hold for a bit, hopefully get started up soon again.
That's really oddly attacking me at the same time. Unintentionally, I assure you. Locke's like, same.
Yeah, when's that Curse of Strahd picking up?
Speaking of, wink, wink. That's why I brought it up. Locke messaged me beforehand. He's like, hey,
hey, I need you to, yeah.
Mary, we need to talk to you.
I need you to suddenly
bring up. This is an intervention.
This actually isn't a Lorecast recording.
Intervention. That's, I need you to DM more. Thanks.
That's definitely where I belong, is an intervention. I'm just that guy, like, sitting on the couch, like, oh, I thought it was just, like, snacks and stuff.
I thought we were gonna play D&D. I brought my dice.
I brought my dice bag. Are we not?
I brought my dice and my books.
All right, fine. Well,
I mean, did.
Since we're all here, actually, can we at least do it afterwards?
We played Friday. Well, right. I didn't.
We're all free, they right?
Played. I was DMing Friday, but we have actually done some D&D this year. I'm very proud. It's actually occurred. Not as much as I'd like.
I'm running an Earth Genasi druid that goes by the name Dr. Pepper. And he is completely socially awkward and aloof, like doesn't know how to handle himself in most social situations. Once pooped on the outside the front door of an establishment when they didn't give us the information we wanted.
I like the style.
And also, he's completely naked except for like a loincloth. And
what does Earth Genasi poop look like?
It's like gravel,
like a rock.
Like a rock. Yeah.
It's like, oh man, somebody must have kicked some rocks. Oh, dang, neighborhood kids throwing their rocks up here again.
But why he's very
this rock match my gravel.
He's very, very protective of the party, since these are the only people, even though they do get frustrated with him, they are the only people that have genuinely been nice to him and cared for him in his life. And so mm-hmm. once I realized that, and that's the other interesting thing about playing these characters and getting into these archetypes, sometimes you want to play a certain way and then kind of figure out who the character is as you play them.
I was actually going to bring that up after you said that, because that's what happened with Ganome, which is this, that's how Locke and I became twins. He is the one who has Bra, her twin.
Oh yeah. Brunome, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brunome. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Shahort Stake. Is their last name.
I was gonna say, once I realized that about the character, you know, yeah. I retconned a lot of their abilities to be like more defensive, you know, more more spells to keep either enemies either penned in or at least, you know, mm-hmm. away from the party. Not so much the offense, but a lot of the more defensive. But yeah, and that's been a lot of fun too. Like he's kind of like that, that, you know, weirdo friend that no one else, that you kind of take in because no one else will. And he means well, mm-hmm. even if he does, you know, poop on the, you know, on the front, outside the front door of a bar or a tavern. And we've all been there. We've either had that friend or have been that friend.
I was going to say, to be fair, it's probably not the first time that someone has pooped on the stoop of that tavern.
But, it's, you know, a flaming bag of rocks.
Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use your boots, Ted. But yeah, but he is now a very proud co-owner of a franchised Applebee's. So if you ever find yourself in our multiverse's version of Fandelver, by all means, you know, jalapeno cheddar poppers on us. Darkwing, how about yourself?
So somebody earlier copied my homework before they showed up, apparently. Because I also like to be a rogue who is sneaky. And
I mean, who doesn't, though? Who, like, one of my aforementioned best friends, the one who's always playing, like, taking the evil route in role-playing game and RPG video games, mm-hmm. Like, that's his favorite. Like, he's like, man, I like to, like, pop out, you know, shoot. Yeah, he's like the arcane trickster. He likes to pop out, shoot some magic, pop back in, you know, like, you know, it's like the hit and run type of character.
Yeah, but that's my archetype. I'm always sneaky. I've always been a little backstabby, take your treasure character. I just play them well. You know, you guys were talking about Critical Role earlier, mm-hmm. and Scanlan is my wife told me I was kind of like him. I've kind of been wanting to play him. Or a character like him, if I could just find a game. But like, I'll just sit at the table with a guitar and make up bad songs and, you know, seduce dragons. I'm all about seducing dragons. It sounds like a great plan.
Between Mary's booping and your seducing, we're not going to have a full round table, so, you know, relatively soon.
It's all right. Yeah. It's fine. We went out
dragon
the way we wanted.
Dragon seduction is a dangerous thing. very dangerous thing to play at Dragon Seduction.
So is booping the snoot of an owlbear.
I mean, that's to be fair.
True.
I realize that we've we never took a break for the middle of the show, which we'll have a middle of the show toward the end. In fact, well, let's have the middle of the show right now. We'll have the middle of the show. We'll come back and then we'll discuss any other final archetypes or that we have played or archetypes that we want to play. Welcome to the middle of the show. This is usually where we do things like thank the patrons and discuss any recent D&D news and also in some homebrew shenanigans in the DMs Guild. But we want to get quickly back to the patron roundtable and the awesome conversation that we're having. So just really quickly, we want to thank the patrons for supporting the show over at patreon.com/DndLorecast. They're able to get bonus episodes, ad-free early episodes, merchandise, and all sorts of cool perks and benefits. If you're interested in doing that and supporting the show in a little two-for-one deal, then head on over to patreon.com/DndLorecast and sign up for a tier if it so tickles your fancy. And also, if you want to support the show in the other ways, you can leave us reviews on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on all the social medias, all the normal run-of-the-mill stuff. But generally, we do appreciate each and every one of you. If you're on the Patreon or if you're a first-time listener or if you're a long-time listener, regardless, if you're supporting the show in any which way, thank you so much. This is truly a labor of love for both Mary and myself, and we couldn't be more blissful that we get to do. We get to talk D&D like the complete dorks and nerds that we are. So once again, thank you so much, and let's jump on back to the show, to the conversation. Welcome back to from the middle end of the show. Exactly. Sure. We're having a fun conversation. We're talking with the patrons. We're talking character archetypes, the type of characters that we love to play, some that we hope to play. And we're going to finish off the episode with everyone's going to talk about either one more character type that they love playing or maybe one that they would like to play in the future. And me being a dice man, I'm going to roll a dice, see who goes first. And it's going to be Bellari.
I think as far as the can't play sort of archetype is the goody two-shoes hippie healer. I just don't understand that role at all.
I can't wrap my mind. Every party needs a healer.
I love that role so much. That's what my first druid was. And I will post the artwork in our Discord.
Every time, there's
a phrase. Her little phrase at the bottom of it that Yearn did on the artwork is, "I'm gonna boop it." That is legitimately what it says on Terrain's art.
Every time I think of druids, all I can think of is Futurama, where they've got that lion that they've taught to eat tofu, and he's screaming up and going, "You can't own land." It's like, "I can because I'm not a dirty hippie." That's all that runs through my mind every time I think of druids.
That cough that lion did.
Yeah. I just can't play that role at all. I mean, in video games, I can play clerics easily, but yeah, in D&D, I just can't.
So no, if you're in a party with Bellari and you get hurt, do not look to him to get healed.
Right.
He'll hold on to your wallet for you.
And even if I could heal, it would be for me mainly.
It's like, yeah, I've got some potions. I've got some healing. I've got some good berries, but they're for me.
Lay on the ground, bleeding out. Help! Do you have a potion?
I like in my campaign, my barbarian ended up being like the most healing with like potions and stuff, which is kind of insane.
Good point. Speaking of good berries, that reminded me of Dr. Pepper's good berries were little pieces of his. They weren't his poop, but they, you know, they did come out of his butt. So, I mean,
that's
dingleberries.
They're good berries. They healed you.
That doesn't
one
sound
HP
good.
Each.
I feel like I'd rather die.
Well,
didn't
yeah, that wasn't a sentiment didn't... that was, you know, that wasn't that uncommon amongst my party.
They're all like, well, maybe just one.
Hey, but in a pinch, you'll take what I pinch.
It was also a sediment that was common.
There you go. There you go.
What is going on here?
All right, up next, let's go with who is that? Tex. Ooh. I'm rolling a D6 to figure this out.
I mean, it's like I would like to like play like a luchador like sort of character.
Yes.
It's like, and other than that, like somebody that just uses wild magic, just have crazy stuff happen all the time.
A walking wand wonder.
Wild magic's terrifying as a party, as a co-party member, because you hear the dice roll, and then you go, "Oh, okay, it wasn't a one. We're all right. You guys are fine.
We're what? Fine." DM Dave, who is actually opening up a physical store in Oklahoma here pretty soon, which is mm-hmm. very exciting. DM Dave has a luchador playing class, a homebrew that we'll link to that in the show notes. And we'll also have it in the Discord. And you could also find stuff on DM's Guild as well. But also the game Weird Frontiers has a luchador character that's a lot of fun. I was able to play that at the RPG, North Texas RPG Con a couple months back.
Yeah, I do have like a book for a luchador game that's a TTRPG. I forget what the heck it is called, but...
Oh, I have one as well. I can't... Hold on, give me one.
Let him check the vast library that surrounds him within his realm.
Intergalactic Lucha Libre League. Got this off of DM's Guild. It is very fun. I haven't had a chance to play it, but it looks so much fun. But it's like a... It's like if wrestling was in outer space and with aliens.
The one I have is more akin to the old luchador movies.
Ah, yeah, which, like that.
Which would be awesome to like take like an actual luchador movie and like turn that into a campaign and just do that.
Oh, no, for sure. There was something very similar in the Journeys into the Radiant Citadel book. There was mm-hmm. a... like a luchador character that you could create like a almost like a side mission, side quest to. But yeah, that's as a fellow wrestling fan, as a fan of the art of professional wrestling, I have to agree. Playing a luchador would be a lot of fun.
Just come through like La Park and just hitting people with chairs.
And dancing.
That's just for me and you. Nobody else gets it.
Exactly. There's like maybe four people listening. They're like, ah, yes, La Parca. Jeff, how about yourself?
I don't know that it's necessarily an archetype, but I have really wanted to like build a viable like five class character. So like what a bard would be if bards weren't a thing, like starts out as like a level one fighter and is like, man, I really want to study magic. So he goes to wizard school and fails out. And then he's like, maybe I could get into this crime ring, and gets a level in rogue. And he's like, no, nope, not a big fan of that either. And so just, you know, casually accumulating different classes. And part of it for me, I think, is, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I kind of think that ASIs and feats are both a little bit overrated relative to taking another class and gaining, you know, tons of abilities. Like I have another character. I took a two level druid dip for wildfire to get the teleport. Like,
yeah.
And you know, the big thing is like, well, your wildfire spirit is only going to be as good as your druid levels. And I'm like, I don't need the spirit to be good. I just need that one, like summon it, use the bonus action to get out of trouble. And that's it.
Van Wilder?
Yeah, and same thing with wizard, like two levels for portent with divination, that's good. Three levels of fighter for action surge, that's good. So I don't know, that's still up in the air a little bit, but I would really like to do that.
It would be an interesting campaign premise. You can use multiple levels, but not over, like you can't have over, put a limit on it, say you can't go over level 4 per class or something awesome. To that effect. That would be an interesting way to do that.
I would think.
Usually, yeah, like self-cap yourself.
Yeah.
And you can do whatever, any combination that you wanted, but you just can't go over four at any one thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the premise of the original Bard, anyways, is that you started off as a fighter and you could go to, I think it was 7 or 10 as like the max level, and then you could switch over to Thief and then to Wizard. And then once you matched the three class levels, so you went 10, 10, 10, then you could start being a Bard.
Ah, there you go. So
that was the old Unearthed Arcana one, back when Cavaliers were an actual class.
That's some
I haven't heard anybody say. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's some old AD&D knowledge.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't heard anybody say Cavalier in a long time.
I mean, except for in respect to the D&D cartoon.
I used to drive a Cavalier.
Hey, same.
They were a horrible class to be against in second edition. Just terrible. They had all of the benefits of a paladin, but none of the, oh no, I've fallen out of favor.
Yeah.
All right, who's up next? Let's go with Darkwing.
So I just had to leave the room because my bard just showed up. And, you know, you guys said something at the beginning where, you know, I became a DM to play all the characters. And that stuck with me through this whole conversation. Like, you know what? They're right. I think I'd like to play a Death Knight. So, unfortunately for those guys, I'm going to go make a Death Knight. If you want to know more about Death Knight, these guys have done an episode. Go back and listen to it.
They don't smell great. We finally figured that out.
They're disgusting.
That's so much fun, for sure.
Also, who doesn't want to play a Death Knight? Can I just...
Right. Fair. That's fair.
I mean, I feel like there's got to be some way to play a Death Knight in game, like in as a party member.
I know somebody who has one.
Right, and like, you know, maybe they realize what they've done, the decision they made, the pact they made, whatever it was the wrong one, and they're trying to redeem themselves, or at the very least, try to you know, do whatever good they can while they're still I was gonna say living, but that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. While they're still around, while they're still up and about.
Undead, sir, undead.
Didn't you say there was always like a specific number of Death Knights? Like it doesn't change?
Well, that's according to some sources, yeah, there's
Because it'd be cool if you killed it and then you had to be a Death Knight because you're
like the Santa Claus.
Like, yes, the Santa Claus.
Perfect.
The Death Knight Claus.
The Death Knight Claus. You know what?
That's
what it's called in the official paperwork.
Yeah, Death Knight Claus is also the legal agreement that you are going to stick around after you die.
And then the group can go hunt all the Death Knights until they're all Death Knights.
Until they're like, look, we're all good people. Let's all become Death Knights and then maybe turn the reputation of Death Knights around.
I love that you guys are all about the redemption arc. And I'm like, yeah, I got a guy who's got a Death Knight. And he's going to help torture my other party. It's going to be awesome.
I do appreciate
just,
how
we're
you're
just
like,
good people.
Yeah, they've got one.
We're just good people.
Guy.
That's all.
Oh, no, a guy. I know where I could pick one up.
We're just good people. That's all it is.
Just borrow it from my neighbor. He's got it next to his weed whacker. It's fine.
Locke, how about yourself?
I don't know. I've always wound up playing like more of the happier, chipper characters and making jokes and stuff like that. I'm thinking for my next character and my the sorcerer one that we're doing in this one shot of Mary's that we did. He's an Arakocra sorcerer, and I'm trying to play him a little bit more serious. And I have a lot of hard times doing, you know, trying to take anything just kind of serious
being
like that.
Serious so at all?
I guess that's really my archetype that I'm trying out now.
So something
but,
serious.
But he's, yeah, it's just trying to play an actual like role play and actually do it well, you know, stuff like that. But even then, we still wind up going off the rails. It's and practice.
It's a lot more difficult if Locke and I are in the same place at the same time.
to stay on track.
Yeah.
Like children.
That reminded me, I've actually got a another character that I just recently started playing. It's a Tortle, who is, I've never played a Tortle before. It's a Tortle cleric.
Ooh, okay.
Who, his backstory is that he eschewed the fighting ways of his stepfather and four brothers. You know, stepfather wanted to train his Tortle children to be fighters. Only four of them agreed to it. This particular Tortle did not. He left. He left his brothers, and so Botticelli became a cleric under Myleeki, and now does what he can to heal and to make the world a better place. But he's fairly serious as well. I try to, much like you, Locke, I usually play like the jokester, the levity of the group. But he's much more serious. Still cracks jokes here and there, but it's more like because he has a straight paladin who makes a comment that, but says it with such sincerity that it becomes funny, you know, in context. But yeah, that is a lot of fun. Yeah, everyone in the chat is like, he's a Ninja Turtle. Just say it. He's the fifth Ninja Turtle. Like, maybe, I don't know. Like,
yeah, that's what I was laughing about.
His backstory is Shell because he's a turtle.
I've never revealed the names of his brothers or stepfather.
Yeah,
and I never will.
Trained by Splinter, it's one of the.
But they live in New York, and
they who knows? I don't know. He has brothers. That's all I'm going to say. Mary, how about yourself? Let's
stop talking about my copyright infringement and move on, please.
Let's stop talking about this questionable copyright strike that I might have against me.
It's really hard for me to pin any down that I really, really, really want to get to be. I would actually like to play the druid more, but play her more in a, like, get to in a longer term type of campaign. It was very short, first character, first campaign kind of a thing. But that's just me in like IRL as a person though, too. I guess I'd also.
Mary is definitely a druid IRL.
That's why I've heard very much about the animals and the plants.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what I don't want to be more than what I do want to be, because I want to be everything. But I think I would have a hard time playing a heavily spiritual character or heavily tied to any sort of deity. And I don't particularly have any desire to play like wizard or sorcerer or the real, like the casting classes that are just strictly those type of things. That just doesn't appeal to me for some reason.
No magic, huh?
I don't mind magic, but yeah, I'd rather be able to do some, I want to be able to do some bonk too. I don't play anything ranged, like video game wise. I don't play the ranged characters either. I always play the tank or the thing that charges in. So
yeah, I usually don't take on range until I've kind of done everything else.
Right. Well, see, I like the idea of the tanky build of the druid. I've been playing Diablo. And that's what that's the class I chose. So she's a giant beefy bear woman, you know, that can destroy stuff too. And I'm like, I want to break things, but only when necessary.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, that will wrap us up for this month's edition of the Patron Roundtable. Once again, thank you to all the patrons for joining us. Thank you for supporting the show and the way that you do. If you want to get a standing invitation to the Patron Roundtable each and every month, you can go to the Patreon that we have, patreon.com/dndlorecast, and sign up for the wizard tier. And we'll have you each and every month, and we'll talk. We'll always have a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, thank you for listening. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
Fare thee well, dear listeners. And until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thank you for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, consider following us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at D&D Lorecast, or jumping into the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons & Dragons. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.